Thank you, Laurie. Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here on the last session of the day. So the question of the safety of well water and watering garden vegetables is a question that is asked a lot here. Many people rely on well water in the state. And here I'm going to be talking about TCE, but it could be any contaminant. We've had a question for arsenic or for perfluorinated compounds. So the problem about, with that question is that it's never a clear-cut answer, and there are not very good data in the literature to allow us to give a firm and clear answer. So today I want to talk to you about a methodology we developed to provide recommendation about watering garden vegetables with TCE-contaminated well water. So to give you a little bit of background, the Alaska Department of Conservation came to us with a problem. They had a TCE plume that was contaminating private wells close to Fairbanks. And they measured the concentration of TCE in some monitoring well, and the highest concentration they measured was 65 micrograms per liter, which is 13 times the maximum contaminant level recommended by EPA. And so, of course, they advised the people not to drink the water, but what to tell them about watering their garden vegetables. So that was our problem. We had to answer that question. So there are two different kinds of uptake that can happen when you water plants. And the first one is direct absorption by the edible parts of the plant, the leaves, for example, or let's say pea pods. That's another example. And the second route would be through the root, and then the contaminant migrates to the edible parts of the plant. So if we look at the properties of TCE, we can translate these properties by saying that TCE is relatively insoluble in water, it's very volatile, and it's pretty lipophilic. So when we introduce TCE-contaminated water on soil, the TCE is going to partition between air. For the most part, it's going to evaporate. Some is going to adsorb to the soil, and some small fraction will remain in the aqueous phase. So what about health effects? So according to the National Toxicology Program, TCE is reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen, and according to IARC, it is a human carcinogen. So the carcinogenicity is characterized by the oral cancer slope factor, which is represented here. So the slope is basically the occurrence of cancer divided by the dose. So this number is going to play a role later. Now, in terms of non-cancer risk, there is some evidence. It's not all that clear, but there is some evidence that there are more birth defects, especially heart problems, in children born from mother who were exposed to TCE-contaminated water. And so we characterize this non-cancer health effect with the minimal risk level, or MRL, which is pretty much the threshold above which the risk is considered to be unacceptable. So we reviewed the literature on TCE, and so here, for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of accelerate here. So we found different statements in the literature, and that allowed us to formulate some hypotheses about the behavior of TCE in those garden vegetables. For example, because TCE is volatile, then most of the TCE will evaporate just during the watering process. Also, we can expect that if there is uptake by the root vegetables, then cooking will probably allow TCE to evaporate. There will also be limited accumulation in the root or in the vegetables because of that property. Then we saw in the literature that if roots are exposed to high levels of TCE, greater than 130 microgram per liter, then TCE will move through the plant and be excreted through the leaf. So you can imagine that this will also probably decrease exposure or decrease the levels in the vegetables. We saw that VOCs taking up through plant roots tend to concentrate near the surface of the root. In fact, it's probably even more absorbed to the outside of the root than inside the root. So because of that, you can expect that if you wash or if you peel your vegetables, you will decrease how much TC you might ingest by ingesting your vegetable. At lower concentration, the sorption to the vegetable skin without transfer could occur. So it's kind of the same hypothesis, meaning the contaminant will stick to the skin but not really penetrate the root or the vegetable. And finally, TC could be has been measured in root vegetables, but that was when the contact with the contaminant was constant. So if there is kind of a soaking phenomenon. So if you just water your plant and the water run through the soil, it's unlikely that the concentration of the vegetables will be very high. So all of that kind of allowed us to do a qualitative analysis of what was going on. And so the conclusion we could draw from that was that most of the TC would probably evaporate during the watering process. It would not accumulate in soil. It would move readily through the plant and be excreted through the leaves. And it would be removed by washing, peeling, and also cooking or processing. So from that perspective, we could say that watering garden vegetables with TC contaminated water should not be a major health issue. So now, this is nice, but it's not a very solid basis. So we try to also quantify the risk. So we used two methods to quantify the risk. And the first one was based on what we found in the literature. So we found those two studies, but we decided to focus on this one because the first one by Doucet et al. Didn't see anything. They looked at fruits and vegetable watered with TC contaminated water, but could not detect TCE in the plants. So we focused on the Schnabel et al. Study to kind of get a worst case scenario. So what did they do? They looked at carrots, spinach, and tomatoes, which they water with water that was fairly highly contaminated with TCE, so 140 microgram per liter and 560 microgram per liter. And then they looked, so the TCE was radiolabeled with carbon-14, and then they looked at how much carbon-14 they could find in the plants. And so they could not detect TCE or its transformation products. They could find carbon-14, but the carbon-14 was integrated to the tissue of the plant. So that was kind of good news for us. And if you look at those concentrations, they are pretty high, and in fact, they are more than twice and 8.5-fold the concentration that were in our scenario, which was 65 microgram per liter. And then, despite those high concentration, the researchers could not find TCE or its metabolites in the plant. And that was true for that particular method, and the limit of quantification for that method was 5 microgram of TC equivalent per kilogram of plant. So that does not mean TCE was not present in the plant. That means that if it was there, it was in a concentration lower than 5 microgram per kilogram. So we use this particular concentration in our method. And that's the question we ask. Okay, so if we have a concentration of 5 microgram of TC per kilogram of vegetable, is there a health risk? So here's the assumptions we made. We assume that TC would be present in the vegetables at that particular level. We assume that there would be no TCE loss via cooking or processing or whatever people might do with the vegetables, even storing the vegetables. We assume that the vegetables were consumed immediately after harvest, because if you store your vegetables for a while, TC would probably have a chance to evaporate. And we made our calculations based on the 95th percentile of vegetable consumption that's provided by EPA. Finally, we assume that about 40% of the total vegetable consumption of any particular individual was coming from the garden. So here's the summary of the calculations we did. The goal was to calculate TC intake. So that was based on the vegetable intake provided by EPA, you know, those estimates from the exposure factor handbook, Exposure time also provided by EPA. We use default values, and we use the concentration in vegetables that was the limit of quantification of that Schnabel study. So from there we calculated TC intake, and from there we could compare that intake to the MRL or calculate a cancer risk. So this is the results. So what's really important is the line that says intake divided by MRL. I wish I had a pointer. But you can see that the MRL was pretty much two orders of magnitude larger than the intake we calculated. And for the cancer risk was about 3 times 10 to the minus 7, which is well within what's acceptable in terms of cancer risk. So here we're talking between 10 to the minus 4 and 10, or 10 to the minus 6 and 10 to the minus 4. So according to that first analysis, consuming vegetables watered with TC-contaminated water should not present any health risk. So from there, we try to also provide recommendation about what would be a safe water concentration. So here, we couldn't be very quantitative, but we looked at the concentration studied in that particular study, and they were around 500 micrograms per liter for different vegetables. And even with these high concentrations, TC remained non-detect. So we said that according to that, watering garden vegetables with water containing about 500 micrograms per liter of TCE would be unlikely to produce adverse health effects. And I only have 5 minutes left. So then we tried to verify those results with a second quantitative analysis. So we used two model equations that we found in the literature in two different studies. And they provide the relationship between the octanol water partition coefficient, which is an interesting property of TCE, and the root concentration factor, which is the concentration in the root divided by the concentration in the water. So we made some assumptions which are pretty similar to the one we made earlier. Those equations were developed for poplar and barley roots, so one of the main assumptions was that those equations were also valid for root vegetables. So from these equations, we could calculate a root concentration, and then you've seen that cartoon before, which is, you know, it's the same reasoning. So we calculated an intake based on that calculated root concentration, and then we compared it to the MRL and calculated the cancer risk. So here again, in every case, the MRL was much larger than the intake we calculated, and the cancer risk was around 10 to the minus 6, which again is acceptable. So this second method confirmed that watering garden vegetables with TC-contaminated water should not present any appreciable risk for human health. And then we try to do a back calculation to determine what would be a safe water concentration. So we started from the MRL, which is kind of a threshold above which the risk becomes unacceptable. So we use this, and from there we calculated the concentration in the vegetables, then the root concentration factor, and from there we could induce which concentration of TC in the water would be problematic. And so what we found was that the lowest concentration at which we could see a potential problem would be 169 microgram TC per liter, and that would be for children between 0 and 1, and here we're talking about a non-cancer risk. So this concentration is much higher, you know, 2.5 times higher than the concentration of our scenario, which was 65 microgram per liter. So we had, of course, these analyses are not perfect. There are limitations and uncertainties. And the first one is that, first, we only had a few water samples to base on that, our analysis on. Then there were maybe, 5 or 6 samples for a big, large area. Then we used the worst-case scenario, and we made the assumption that there would not be any TCE loss from the vegetables from cooking or peeling or storage. And then, of course, we have some uncertainty that inherent to the default value we used, exposure time, exposure duration, body weight, the fraction of contaminated vegetables that are consumed. But there are also some strengths, and so one of them is that first we used a worst-case scenario but could not identify any risk, really. And then we used two different methods, and the two methods, the results, one method corroborated the results of the other method, so that was good. And finally, our method also allowed us to calculate a water concentration above which there might be a health risk. So in summary, we saw that watering garden vegetables with that particular well water, which contains 65 microgram TC per liter, would not result in any appreciable risk for human health. So that means that the MRL would not be exceeded, and the cancer risk was also acceptable. And I'm going to go to the conclusion because I'm really out of time. And so this is what we told people for that area. We told them that they could water their garden vegetables. That's it, and I will entertain any questions.
Hi, I'm Megan Davies, North Carolina. How receptive were people to that message?
We don't know. So the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation asked us to do that analysis. And so we gave them the results, the recommendation. And truthfully, I'm not sure what they did. I don't know if they shared those results with the public yet. So, yeah, unfortunately, I can't tell you.
How long did it take you to do that?
Well, if you count the literature review, trying to really dig what was out there, and then, you know, polishing the results, it's hard to tell. I mean, I was not only working on that at the time. If I'd been only working on that, I would say maybe, I don't know, a month, maybe, yeah. There's really not much in the literature about this. So I really tried desperately to dig something up, but... there was not much out there. So those studies, so the second model I presented, it was for poplar root and for barley root. I think most studies are done in the perspective, is this going to be harmful to the vegetables, you know, or to the plants, but not to the people. So, anybody else? No? Okay.